So we have on the line Chris Eden-Green. Chris, tell us about yourself. That's the first order of business, I think.
Okay, well, first order of business, Peter. Well, I'm a freelance filmmaker by trade who produces a YouTube show about steam locomotives. I believe that you might have been a viewer.
No. Yes, of course I was, yes. That's our connection. Yes, so carry on. Sorry, that interrupted the flow.
No, you're all right. So it's something which I've been working on for the last 9 years. I've been producing for YouTube for the last seven. I've since gone on to sell them on DVD at various railway museums and through my own website and so on. Mm. It's just something which I enjoy doing.
Yes. So when can you remember when it started? This illness. Some people are very unkind about that. You know, they call anybody who's interested in steam locomotion or anything of that sort. They call them. They're beset with an illness. Can't be cured.
Yeah, it's a weird old stigma, but I think the interest in steam engines really started when I was just a few years old, when I was old enough to chase them up and down platforms.
Right, yes.
My mum tells me a fantastic story of about 2 weeks before I was born, she stood on a platform as a steam special was coming through, and the steam got to her and in turn then got to me, and that's apparently
that's
how
it.
I got infected.
That's it, you see, it's in your blood.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, they say that once it gets in the blood, you can't get rid of it, and I think that's kind of true.
Yeah.
But I just remember going out to places like the Bluebell Railway in the Kent East Sussex when I was 3-4 years old, when we moved down to the southeast.
Yeah.
And just loving it since then. I mean, there was Thomas the Tank Engine as well when I was younger, but we'll gloss over that.
Yeah. I think most people would.
Thank goodness. But, yeah, it's I got into filmmaking comparatively late. I was in my early 20s when I started rewatching a lot of old content I used to watch as a child.
Mm.
And then in 2009, Top Gear did that race with Tornado, the Black Shadow and the Jag up to from London to Edinburgh. And that just was the catalyst for me.
Yes.
It made me think, why can't more railway content be produced like this with more cinematic shots and a few facts and figures thrown in?
Yes.
So I thought, well, no one else is producing the steam enthusiast equivalent of Top Gear. Why don't I give it a go?
Yes.
And thankfully, with YouTube being a self-publishing website, I had the facilities to do that.
Yes, yes. And you've enjoyed, I suppose, it's a living. Would that be fair?
It's become a living. It started out as a hobby, but it's because it's taken up so much of my free time and my resources, it's pretty much become part of my trade.
Yes. I seem to remember a very early one of yours where you were down, was there a car involved in it and a policeman? Let me think. I can't think now.
I know the one you mean. It was a short film which I'd made for university called Lineside.
Yes.
And the theme of the film was willpower. It was about the sort of lengths that people would go to just to get, in this case, the perfect shot of a steam locomotive.
Yes.
And it was, I played a railway enthusiast who tried to get a shot of a steam engine, missed the opportunity, and then had to chase it to the next location by any means. And
yes.
Anything that could go wrong did go wrong. His car wouldn't start, and then he nearly ran a policeman down. Then he ran out of petrol, so he had to steal the policeman's bike.
Yes.
Then he crashed into a field full of cow dung. Then he tried leaping over a gate and found that he couldn't.
Yes.
Then he tumbled onto the railway line, and the final shot is of him trying to get that perfect shot while he's stuck on the tracks just as the train's coming up.
Yes.
I didn't actually lie on the line while the train was
progress. No. That's not a recommended activity, really, is it?
But it kind of shows just how seriously some people take it.
Yes, yes. And would you call yourself in that kind of category, that you take it seriously?
I do. You have to take it seriously if you're going to produce it professionally. And, you know,
And have people criticise it or whatever.
Oh, yes.
Yes, yeah. There'll always be some, won't there? Yes.
Yeah.
I had this rather grand idea of, at one point, of going up to the National Railway Museum and filming every kind of loco, and standing in front of it, doing some sort of a narrative, rather in the style of that series that has, I think, been reproduced, British Steam, where you had Mike Lee fronting, a very big man. And they did about 70 or 80 editions of this particular series, and he was very often, I think, up at the NRM, standing in front of, looking as big as, in some cases, the locos.
I know the one you mean. Yes.
It's been repackaged and represented by, is it D'Agostini, the Part Works experts, and I had some sort of similar idea, but of course, you know, he'd already done it, so there seems little point in doing it again. So what is the in your SLIPS? You have to tell us what that stands for, you see, because the listeners won't understand.
Yeah,
SLIP.
So SLIPS, steam locos in profile, is what it's shorthand for.
Mm, yes.
Essentially, they're a series of 15-minute films, documentary films about locomotives, which I review class by class by class, preserved types of engines.
Yes, yes.
Which takes into account everything from the concepts, you know, how design each came about and why, the history of each one, any notable details and feats that they got up to, any strengths, you know, why they were better than their predecessors or their contemporaries, their weaknesses, because no machine's perfect, despite what regional bias has you believe, their decline, because as we all know, steam traction went out of fashion in the 50s and 60s, in some cases before then, and their happy revival in preservation.
Yeah, after having been killed off by the war, really.
Yeah, well, or even just before then. You know, I would argue that the golden age of the railways was just before the First World War.
Yes, yes. But after that, of course, the pressure on the system, moving arms, munitions, soldiers, troops, people, whatever, up and down, and the lack of maintenance of both the infrastructure and the kit, kind of tended to leave a rather shabby sort of looking network. And the old black and white photos, I suppose, kind of illustrate that to a large extent, don't they?
Yeah, more or less. And not least, of course, the revelation that after the First World War, working conditions had to be made more easygoing, and because, you know, people started going on strike from 1926 onwards. So, you know, the railways, they've always been a tough environment, but that was more or less the wake-up call that they needed to realise that things have got to be better.
Well, that's right. And as we speak, of course, today, which is Thursday, the 20th of September today, isn't it? Yes.
Yeah.
There's been a recent report, or the ORR have published their verdict on the timetable shambles, which you might recall the old black and white films where they showed, you know, the importance of planning and arranging timetables.
Absolutely,
I seem to remember one of those. I mean, it cannot be easy.
From what I can see, it's not easy. One of my cameramen works as a timetable planner for Southeastern Trains, and he's not at liberty to tell me many of the details, but from what he does tell me, it's a mess at the best of times, it's a bit like trying to untangle, string, really.
Yes, that's right. It's like when you put putting the mower away at the end of the season and throwing it into the shed, and then in the spring you think, who put this in here last?
Oh yeah, it was me.
Yes, untangling all the knots in the cable, and then the thing doesn't work. Yeah, so it's really quite a serious side of things, really, isn't it? The planning and all that sort of stuff. So, do you see yourself moving on to kind of diesel and electric traction in due course?
I don't think I'm the man for the job, I'm sorry to say.
No.
As much as I'm an advocate for new ways of doing things and, you know, technology becoming better and better as time goes by, because that's how we went from horse to the steam engine.
Sure.
But I'm diesel and electric traction isn't really something that's interested me as much as steam.
No.
And I think me trying to produce something about something which I'm not particularly interested in would come across as a bit forced and fake, and it just looks like I'm doing it for a paycheck. It would be like, I don't know, it would be like if Fred Dibner was contractually obligated to produce a show about 90s pop music. You just know that it's not going to work.
That would be very true if he could, but of course he can't. So it's all very horses for courses, I think. And you just talking about that and horses just put me in mind of a story from the old Stratford to Moreton tramway.
Mm-hmm.
Which of course was the precursor of the railways, because I think the directors of that company didn't want any engines, they wanted to use horses. And there's a lovely story of someone who was in a public house in Alderminster, which is on the kind of Stratford to Moreton route, and he popped in for to slake his thirst, and so had the wagon drivers, you see, and so he said, did he want a lift?
Mm-hmm.
On the wagon with the horse at front. Yes, he'd like that. And so they travelled on, and so we got to one point at the top of a rise, and the wagon stopped, and the driver got off, and he unhitched the horse, and the horse trotted round into the back of the wagon that they were on, and he paints this lovely pastoral picture of the horse kind of sat down. In the style of a dog, you understand,
yeah.
With between these two, the driver and the traveller, and they were just hurtling down this bank.
What a picture!
And had a near miss with something that was on the line, and then when they got to the bottom, the thing had stopped rolling. The horse just got out the back and got back in the front again between the shafts. So I thought it was quite a lovely sort of pastoral picture of. Sort of like late 19th century or even mid 19th century England. And another lady told me a story of the Stratford and Midland Junction Railway, which of course is no more and hasn't been for many a year, that the train used to go so slow that you could actually get out, pick moon daisies at the side of the track and get back on again.
Sounds about right.
Rather in the style of the Titfield Thunderbolt, you understand. You know? A bit like that. So it was quite sort of worrying. And I think some people's experience of the railways is probably a bit like that. You know, a bit stop-go, isn't it, really? So you've got some big projects on, and you've got quite an exciting first, haven't you, coming up for yourself in October?
Yes. Funny you should mention that.
Yes, I was leading up to it.
Yes. So... on the 11th of October, I'm giving my first lecture on slips at the London Model Railway Club near King's Cross. Mm-hmm. It'll be starting at about 7:30 in the evening and then running through till 9 o'clock. So it's an hour and a half lecture. Mm. But in that, I'll be premiering the latest episode of Steam Locos in Profile.
Right.
I have this policy where I don't reveal which episode is going to...
Yes.
Sorry, I'll do that bit again. I have this policy where I won't reveal which locomotive is going to be reviewed next because
okay.
I can't really dictate
no.
what goes on in railway preservation. So if people want to find out what it is first, they'll have to come along and find out, I'm afraid.
Well, that's a way of selling a few tickets, I should imagine. Or are the tickets or...?
Well, it's not ticketed as such, but it's free to members of the London Model Railway Club, but any non-members are asked to pay a contribution of up to about £3 just to help the upkeep of the facilities. It's a
sure.
good place.
Sure.
They've got lots of good stuff there. Mm. So
what's the... is there a website address or something that people can turn to or to get the details of this... upcoming event on your slip?
Most of the latest updates of slips are on my Facebook page, which
yes.
is just Steam Locos in Profile,
yep.
Facebook, whatever the web address is. But then anyone who wants to look at my latest films, if you just type in Steam Locos in Profile in YouTube or my name in YouTube,
yep.
then you'll find out everything you need to know there.
Yes.
If you wish to purchase any back catalogue DVDs of previous episodes of Slips, then they're available from my online shop at e-gmedia.co.uk.
Mm-hmm.
Shameless plug is shameless.
Well, that's what this
that
is
stuff.
All about, Sean. Chris, this is what this is all about. So there we go. So that's great. Now then, your musical choices, which we'll just briefly run through,
mm-hmm.
You probably can't remember why you chose them, though, can you?
Well, some of them I can, but
the first one, the epic, which actually I listened to again last night for the first time in a while, Won't Get Fooled Again by The Who.
Oh,
you've got
yeah.
down here the full version. I think that's about 8 minutes.
Yeah, 8 minutes and 30 seconds, I
yes,
think.
Yes,
36.
Yeah. Could play out with that.
That'd be great. I didn't get into The Who until I was about 17, 18 years old, and then I first... heard this song in full on Radio 2 when I was at work, because I used to be a mechanical engineer in those old days, long before Slips came about, and I just remember hearing this song going on and on and on, but not getting bored by it.
No.
And then shortly afterwards I passed my driving test and then heard the song again in full, and that's when I suddenly felt really good about myself. You know, when you pass, if you learn to drive and then you pass your test and get your driving license and you become... That's a big stage in adulthood, in gaining
so.
That sort of
yes.
that stage.
You're now independent, so
yeah.
to speak. Yes.
And now the world is my oyster. I'm
yes.
off somewhere.
Yes. Yes. So the won't get fooled again is kind of like you are now your own person, as it
were. Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so then, so that was a pause. Did you get that? That was a pause. Handle with Care, the Travelling Wilburys. Actually, I spoke with someone, that's a cover group for the Travelling Wilburys called the Unravelling Wilburys.
I've heard of the Trembling Wilburys, but yes, no, yes. Something altogether.
This is the Unravelling Wilburys, yes. Anyway, yes, Handle with Care.
So, let's just harks back to childhood, really. The Travelling Wilburys was the first group that I remember being made aware of in my life, really. I've been listening to them since the age of about 2 years old, and I've always had fond memories of family holidays going travelling down to the southwest in the back of my dad's Montego estate, and the Wilburys estate, the Wilburys cassettes would always be played on the stereo.
Yeah.
And I just remember Handle With Care being the opening track of the Volume 1 album, of course, and for the start of that 40 minutes or so of the whole album, it was like I was transported into a different world almost, because it was so laid back and easy going, and I wasn't made aware of who the members of the band were until I was much older, of course, but even then I could tell that they were some pretty big individuals.
Absolutely, yeah, and there's not very many of them left, because George Harrison is no longer with us. Roy Orbison died during filming on that album.
And then, of course, Tom Petty passed away last year,
yeah. Bob Dylan's still with us, and a Nobel Prize winner, so there we are.
Yep.
And I'm just trying to think who else is in.
Jeff Lynne is still
touring with the ELO, or his ELO.
Yep.
And I can't think of the drummer's name offhand, and that's, yeah, he was...
Nobody can remember
Jim,
the drummer.
Jim Kellner, for the record. Yeah, Jim Kellner. but they were the first supergroup, I guess.
Yeah, well, they were probably, if they weren't the first supergroup, they were definitely one of the few supergroups to actually be a supergroup, because I think that term gets bandied about
quite a lot.
Like the word epic and preachy and so on.
That's right. And I think they just threw that together over the third album, which followed from the first. They didn't have a second. That was done in 10 days. They all got together, apparently, and just did the whole thing in 10 days.
Yeah, and it was all because Handle With Care was recorded as a B-side for one of George's singles, and the record company didn't want it, so he was just carrying it in his pocket for ages and ages, thinking, what can I do with this thing other than produce another 9 and make an album?
Yes.
All right, I'll go and make an album.
Yeah. Anybody free? Anybody want to come down? We'll jam, which is what they did, pretty much, and had a good time doing it, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Right, moving on, Hold You Back. You've not been held back, have you?
Well, status quo. That's open to debate.
So that's an interesting track we've had in the studio just recently, and indeed on the phone previously, John Coughlan, who was the drummer with the original Status Quo. He left in about 81, 82, and he's still performing with his own Quo. And he's close to here. When this goes out, it might have just happened at the end of September at Bishop's Cleeve.
Oh, brilliant!
At a small venue there. So he's still, he's a friend of NCCR, I think.
Excellent.
So there's that one. And then Queen.
Yes.
I Was Born to Love You.
Yeah. It's not one that most people would suspect of picking, but this was my introduction to Queen.
Was it?
I remember when I was 8 years old, the Made in Heaven studio album had just come out, which was the last studio album to feature Freddie Mercury's vocals throughout nearly every track, I think. And I just remember this going, my mum putting this on the kitchen stereo when we got it home, and I heard this song in full, and as it started, and then it kept building up and up and up with more layers and more instruments, and I just remember thinking all the way through, I don't know who these guys are, but they're special, they're important, there's music, and then there's this, and that just solidifies Queen as one of the greatest bands of all time for me.
Yes, we always enjoy watching, for probably all the sort of wrong reasons, I Want to Break Free, where they're all in drag. Just, you know, it is so obviously drag. You know, it's not even close. But it's clever. It's a clever lyric, and certainly an effective film, I think, at the time. So then we've got "Running on Empty" by Jackson Browne.
Yes, this is one which I think can. I'll start that bit again. This is one of those tracks that I think can speak for many artists of any sort of age, really, but particularly those who are young and have to sort of try to get by on pretty much nothing, especially nowadays when the cost of living's going up, but the cost of wages and so on are not going up to match that.
Mm.
Okay, I heard this for the first time in Forrest Gump when Forrest is running across country for the first time ever, and I heard it again for the first time in ages a couple of years ago, and at that time I was working myself silly part-time trying to earn my own living and trying to keep my show going, because at that time it wasn't earning its keep.
No.
So I was hardly giving myself any breaks and, you know, no holidays or anything like that. And I just remember, God, this really is speaking to me. I really am running on empty.
Yes.
But you just got to keep going.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. I've been speaking earlier on today with Chris Bonington, and the title of his latest book is Ascent. And it really carries the thought that you've got to still keep moving forwards and upwards, really. That was the kind of message, really, that I thought his book, not having read it, but the you know, the promo, I thought that was what it was really all about. And I suppose that's true in your own case, really, isn't it? You've got to keep moving forwards, stretching yourself a little bit, but being balanced about it, because, I mean, there's no point in being dead, is there?
Oh, no. I remember hearing Francis Rossi on the radio a couple of years ago, and he said, he was talking about how most bands of his generation, like the Rolling Stones and Quo and so on, keep touring for the sake of touring.
Mm.
And he, in his words, he said, if we don't get to be old and wrinkly, rock or otherwise, we're dead.
Yes. In fact, interestingly, talking about the pressures of touring and stuff like that, the Searchers are ending their touring next March. That's not Mike Pender's Searchers. This is the Searchers with Frank Allen, John McNally, who are two, well, although Frank Allen's not an original member, John McNally certainly is. Frank Allen joined shortly after Tony Jackson. He replaced Tony Jackson back in the early 60s, so he's as near matters an original. And the two other members, Frank Allen has decided, you know, kind of, that's enough. His body can't sort of, like, hack the constant touring, which is, I mean, they do 200-plus gigs a year.
That's a lot of gigs.
That's a lot of gigs, isn't it? That's a lot of gigs, isn't it, really? And at some point, the body's going to say, I think that's it. I asked that question of one or two others, and I've said, you know, you're still going strong after X years. When are you going to stop? And they all pretty much come back with, well, I'll know. I'm still enjoying it, so I'll carry on, but I'll know. I'll wake up one morning and I'll think, that's it. I can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
And we've just got to make sure we're younger fellows that we pace ourselves. You see, that's the trick.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Yeah. Well, there's an old fella here giving a word of wisdom. You see, and because if you don't take notice of the lyric of "Running on Empty," you might find yourself really experiencing what Amy McDonald's lyric seems to suggest: your time will come.
Yeah.
Do you like the links? Do you like the links? I've thought about this, you see.
Yeah. I was expecting I'd have to give more exposition on each of these choices.
No, you've done well. I'm sort of keep going. This is a conversation, you see. So why that track? Is that because of thinking you've got to keep going?
There was partly that, but this was also the song which in some ways kind of changed my life and led me down the road that I'm going now, because it was 2010 when her album A Curious Thing came out, and I'd kind of been following Amy McDonald since the beginning of her entry into pop culture stardom.
She did the cruises. Did she do the cruises? Was she the cruise ship singer, or am I thinking of somebody else?
I think you might be thinking of something else.
I'm not sure. I am probably. Yeah.
But anyway, I was at that point in my life. I was working as a mechanic. I was teetering on the idea of venturing into filmmaking, but I wasn't sure that I'd be able to cut it. And then I heard that song for the first time, and again, in one of those spur-of-the-moment things, mm-hmm. I was sent to another place, the lyrics spoke to me, mm-hmm. I thought, I'll give it a try, mm-hmm. see if mm-hmm. it comes to anything, mm-hmm. and I'm glad that it did, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. that's sometimes what music does, it just,
yeah.
as well as entertaining you, it speaks to you and inspires you.
Yeah, so, motivates, acts as a soother. Makes people feel happy, makes people feel better very yeah. often, doesn't it? So, or gives them a motivation, which you've obviously just experienced.
Absolutely.
So there we are. So that'll be an interesting little sequence of songs to play with the interview. So just summarising, we've got your talk in London mm-hmm. on October the 11th with the London Modelling Society, is that called?
Yeah, London Model Railway Club, so you were close enough.
Yeah, close enough.
And then
there's Slips Volume 4 coming out on October the 15th, or rather, yes, released on December the 3rd, yeah?
Yes, that's right.
There you are, so you've got it all, got it all, got it all.
Good man.
Yeah, so any parting words of encouragement to the listener?
Yes, say no to politics.
That's probably one of the wisest words I've ever heard spoken. Very good. Chris, it's been a great pleasure speaking with you. Thank you very much for taking the time to have a little think about and think something to say. And I'm sure that our listeners will enjoy both your review of your career so far and your song choices. So all the best and thanks very much.
Thanks a lot, Peter.
Okay, all the best. Bye-bye.
All right,
now. Bye.
Bye.